Tonight's message is God is throwing a party and you are invited. How many like parties? Now, I've been to all kinds of parties, but this party cannot compare to the parties of the world. God is throwing a party and you are invited. And I want you to open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We'll begin with verse 1. Now, many think, and I want you to hear this, please, before we start, that Christianity is pretty much a life of sacrifice, self-denial, and suffering for Christ. Okay? Now hear me out. This is being presented so that it'll make your flag go up, so that I can finish off with what I'm going to say. Because many of us think that Christianity is a life of self-denial, of suffering and sacrifice. And at times, this truly is the case. Would you agree? Jesus himself taught that the road that leads to life is narrow. And that word narrow means difficult or confined. And there are few who find it. There are few that are going to be saved, folks. Few. But life is what Jesus came to give humanity. So there's got to be more, I want you to hear this, that God has in store for us than just barely holding on until we get to heaven. Some people live in a place of survival mode, of maintenance mode, of just getting by all the time, of just barely making it all the time. Do you know that is not God's plan for your life? Amen. According to Psalms 23, there is a banquet set before us in Christ. Hallelujah. And that we have access to this place by faith. There is truly a place of joy and bliss in the presence of the Lord. We often sing about the sweet by and by, but what about the here and now? Come on, some people's Christianity is reduced to a life of misery where they only sing about heaven and the sweet by and by, and they have no victory now. What about right now? Why can't you have victory right now? Well, I'm here to tell you, you can have victory now. Amen. You can be set free now. You can experience the joy of His salvation today, now. Amen. If you will listen. Because the Lord will never force His will, you know this, upon you. He says, I'm offering you the way out. I'm offering you the way of escape. I'm offering you the way of joy and completeness in me. But it's your choice. Choose who you're going to serve. Because you cannot serve two masters. You cannot love the world and the things of the world and live for God. You're going to serve the world or you're going to serve Christ. Now, listen to this. Why would anyone in their right mind desire to seek a God who's not really good and desirable? Do you know why many people do not seek God? It's because they don't really know who He is, and they don't really believe that He is so good and desirable. So there's no incentive to seek for Him. Isn't it true? If you don't believe that He's good and that He's really desirable, then you won't desire Him. Jesus gives us a snapshot, folks, of the plan of salvation and what the Father is doing here in chapter 22 in verse 1. He said, Jesus answered and He spoke to them again by parables and He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Who is this? God the Father has arranged a wedding for his son. Who is his son? Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? He came to receive a bride, a people who are going to be his own. And the Father has sent him to do so. Jesus came. God, the Son, became a man. He came to this earth to receive a people, to redeem us out of sin, so that we might walk in his salvation and that we might be made beautiful for him. The bride will go through time, usually up to 2 years of preparation before the wedding. A beautification of different oils and perfumes that they would rub into her skin and in preparation for the great day that she will be united with her groom. And they would come into covenant when they would raise up the marital wine and the cup, and they will agree together that we are betrothed to one another. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. We are married to one another. I will not cheat on you. I will be faithful to you. And then the bridegroom Jesus was crucified and dead and buried for the sins of the world. And he went to the Father. What did he do? He went to prepare a place for you. Who? The bride of Christ. The church. And he's gone away. And while he's gone away, we got to be careful that the bride don't play. Amen? Because we have also, in communion, we've lifted up the cup and said, Lord, I'm with you. I agree with you. We are in this together. I am betrothed to you and to no one else. I will have no other gods before you. And so the Father here is being spoken of and the Son. And it says in verse 3 that he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Now, it says in John chapter 1 that he came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. Who was that? The Jewish people. But the Bible also says that the time will come when they will turn again to the Lord. They will understand that he is the Messiah. But blindness has taken part right now on the Jewish people, so that you and I, the non-Jewish peoples, will have an opportunity to come to Christ to be saved. Because there's coming a day when the Lord's going to shut the door on the Gentiles, and he's going to turn again to his ancient people, and they shall be saved. And so today is the opportunity that God gives us to get our hearts right with him, to get on board the ark of his safety, because it's not when we desire, but it's when he calls. It's not we come bebopping anytime we want. It's when he's calling us that we can respond to his voice. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except that the Father draws them. Do you hear God's voice calling you? If you can still hear his voice, rejoice. Amen. If you can still hear his voice, you better listen to what he's saying. Because the day will come, he said, that many will stand at the door and they will knock. And the door will be closed. God himself will seal the door. And it will not be open, folks. Why? Because there is a number. There is a number of people that will be saved out of the Gentile nations. They are going to be his bride, his holy ones, the ones who have not given themselves to the lust of the flesh and the love of the world and the pride of life, but those who have given themselves over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Master of their life. Those who are looking for him, the Bible says he will return a second time without sin unto salvation. Amen? He's looking for those who are looking for him. He shows up in the lives of those who seek him. And you won't seek him unless you know he is really desirable. And the Father is putting together a great banquet. Hallelujah. The wedding supper of the Lamb. And he's going to come. Jesus is going to come and receive his bride. And we're going to sit down at the Master's table. But in the meantime, because of Jesus, because of what he's done at the cross, we can come to the throne of grace now. And we can receive life. We can receive mercy. We can receive grace. Today, how much time, we don't know. But today is the day of God's salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, please do not harden your hearts to him anymore. The more that you resist the Spirit of God, the harder your heart becomes. And it's like a muscle that gets calloused to the degree that in some cases where you're given over to a reprobate mind, that means that you're lost. You can no longer sense or hear or feel. You become dulled in your hearing. The things that you once trembled at no longer affect you anymore. Because when God was calling, you resisted. You see, everything, folks, is in a time and is a season. God moves on upon our lives. And when He's speaking to us, folks, that's the time He's offering us grace. That's the time He's offering us a solution, an escape from our situation. Jesus promised us life. I'm talking about here and now. It's not in the sweet by and by only. Come on. Most people are living a defeated life because all they think about is the sweet by and by. And they're not enjoying the pleasures of knowing God today. The reason why we praise Him, the reason why we worship Him, the reason why we sing, it's not because we're loony. Well, maybe we're loony too. But because we've discovered that God is delightful. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't need to get high on the world. It's cheap counterfeit. It's artificial. And it always takes more than you put into it. Or what you got out of it. It'll require more. But God is good. He's desirable.
Yes, He is.
Huh. And it says that He's invited many to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. But again, He sent out other servants in verse 4 saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. What is God doing? God is preparing a banquet. And believe me, and you know this, it's above and beyond anything we can comprehend. I mean, we've all probably been to some pretty good parties on the earth. But it's nothing compared to what God does. And this is the thing, folks. When we really begin to know Him and understand how good God really is, it will cause you to desire Him. You will come, you will worship, you will kneel, you will cry out because you've discovered how good God really is. If you don't believe He's good, you won't seek Him. And Jesus is saying the Father's prepared a banquet here. And the Father has put His heart into this banquet. Why? Because He loves His Son. And He wants a bride for His Son. And this is going to be a joyous occasion. And the call is going out throughout the earth, folks. It's been going out through generations to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been going out. And there are those who are responding and those who are like these that He speaks of here who refuse to listen. I want you to hear this. But they made light of it. And went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. In other words, they were preoccupied with temporal things and sacrificed eternal things. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Well, what happened? What happened to the prophets that had gone before? What happened to John? They were taken. They were crucified. Amen. They were beaten. They were sawn in sunder. Even all the 11 of the 12 disciples were martyred. They were killed for their witness of Jesus. And what is our message, folks? The message is this. Listen, God is throwing a party that is out of this world, and you are invited. Do you hear it? That's what He's saying. God is preparing a banquet feast. And the invitation is going out. And because The heir, the son, has paid such a tremendous high price for the salvation of lost humanity when he was crucified, when he even willingly gave his life for us to go through what he did for us. Does not the Father have every right in his justice to demand justice upon those who refuse his offer of salvation? You see, people go to hell because they put themselves there, because they refuse the mercy that could be theirs. Yeah. It's time to wake up.
Oh, yeah.
Others were invited, but they were indifferent. You know what? God didn't shrug this off, folks. He didn't shrug it off. You know why? Because rejecting God's invitation is an insult to who he is and all that he has done out of love for mankind. In verse 7, when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. In 70 AD, folks, that's exactly what happened in Jerusalem. And then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." Yeah. He says, "Go out and bring more then. Those who were first called were not worthy." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. The wedding is ready, he says in verse 8, but those who were invited were not worthy. Now, why would anyone reject, I want you to hear this, an invitation of such magnitude? Why would anyone reject an invitation to a party that the God of the universe has arranged? Well, let me give you a couple reasons, I believe. You ready? Number one is because they are in love with this present sinful world. And cannot see the greater riches of the kingdom of God. Sin has blinded their minds. Another reason is some are too proud to admit they need God. And they won't humble themselves before him. Others won't allow anyone else to rule over them. So they rebel against God's authority in their lives. You know why? They want everything on their terms. Okay, God, but on my terms. Don't work that way. In other words, you reject his terms for your terms. Well, your terms get you into hell very quickly. My terms get me there. I want his. I'm coming his way. He's made a way. There is one way. There is one truth. There is one life. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." There's no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Some others, they misunderstand the nature of God. And they are bitter towards him. They blame him for everything that's wrong in their life. And yet we forget that it was man's choices that brought the problems that we see in the world today. God gets blamed for things that we did. When we chose to rebel against his authority, when we thought that we had a better idea than God. God help us. Fifthly, there's others who cannot accept the fact that they cannot know everything. And will not trust God with the mysteries of life. Folks, how many have discovered already that no matter how you try to know everything, you don't. And you won't. No matter how hard we try to get all of our questions answered, you're not going to get all your questions answered. There are certain mysteries in life. That's where we have to come to the place to figure out that, hey, I'm not God. And I don't have the capacity to know everything that there is. And to know why God does what he does, because he's the potter, I'm the clay. He's the one that formed me. I'm not going to know all the answers. I'm not going to know all the mysteries. But what God wants us to know, he's revealed to us through the Word of God and by his Spirit. God shows us what we need to know, and that he is providing, amen, a way of escape from his wrath that's coming upon the rebellious of this world. That he is preparing a great banquet, a great feast, that those of us who will come to him through Jesus to seek him will find him. And those who find him, he will clothe you and I with his garments of righteousness. We have to come to the place where we realize that we're just not going to know everything. We're not going to have all the answers. And another thing, folks, I want you to hear this. The reason why people don't respond to God's invitation is this also. I want you to hear this. Is because many are disillusioned by phony Christians. Or by those who are presenting a wrong image of Christ to the world. Because they haven't seen the real Christ in us who claim to be his followers. Lord, help us to never misrepresent you to the world. Lord, change my heart. Change my heart. Would you just say that? Lord, change my heart. Make me like you. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want the world to see you, Jesus. Set me aside so that you may be seen. So what does the Lord do? In verse 9 it says, he says, go into the highways. As many as you find, invite to the wedding. So verse 10, the servants went out into the highways and gathered together of all whom they had found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But then look at this, very interesting. Look at verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is what's going to happen to those who tried to come into God's presence on their own terms. That's what's going to happen to those who try to come before a holy God in their own righteousness. Who come before God and say, look how good I am. Unless one is clothed with the gift of God's grace or his holiness, they will be eventually cast out from the king's presence. Why? Because the unholy cannot stand in the presence of the holy. Amen. The only way you and I can be holy is that Christ himself, amen, clothes us in his holiness. Amen. Unless you have the garment of righteousness, you will not stand before God. Unless you repent of your sins, you will perish. You see, you will never receive God's righteousness until you're done with your righteousness. You'll never be clothed in his righteousness until you do away with your own old life. Repentance is not being sorry over and over again. Repentance means I change my mind to the degree that I will not repeat it. That's true repentance. And when you mean business with God, he will release his grace in your life and he'll set you free from those sins. Amen. Oh, has anybody been set free? Yes. Do you see? Well, you don't have to be bound by anything because you don't have to be under the power of any sin. Why? Because Christ has set us free. If you're a believer today, you're already set free. If you're not a believer today, you've got to come to Jesus on his terms through the way that he's made possible, and that is through repentance. That means, Lord, I forsake my sins. I'm turning away from the way I was living and the way I was going, and I'm now going to commit my life and my heart, my future to you, Jesus, because you are the way. You are the one who has the words of eternal life. Peter said, Lord, you're the one who has the words of eternal life. Where can we go? You see, when Jesus laid down what it meant to follow him, many people no longer wanted to walk with him. Why? Because they love this present world. Because they're in love with the sin. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, Jesus said. But men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light, lest their deeds be exposed. Folks, I want you to know that we've got to come into the light of Christ. We've got to forsake our sins. And when we mean business, and we come with an honest heart before God, He forgives you instantly. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And He puts His Holy Spirit in you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you're clothed, not in yours, but in His righteousness. Oh, yeah. What does that look like? Peter said it this way in Acts 2 and verse 38. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. He didn't say, you know, do a little patching up in your life. Improve your life. Go to church once in a while. Sing a few songs. Throw a dollar in the offering. No. No. He says you need to repent. That your sins may be blotted out. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you see? You're not going to receive the Holy Ghost until you repent of your sins. And are people that are getting a false spirit because they refuse to repent of their sins. And there are people who have received a different Jesus, not the real Jesus of the Bible. They've received a counterfeit because they refuse this one thing, and that is they will not listen to God. And yet they want to be involved in the things of God. Remember, Judas was one who was involved in the things of God. Judas is one who had also received even of the anointing, had gone out and probably cast out demons and healed the sick and did all kinds of wonderful works in the name of Jesus under His authority. And yet in the end, what happened to Judas? Judas was never transformed. He was never changed. His heart was the same. He had an outward appearance of godliness, and he knew how to play the game around certain people, but his heart was sick, and his heart was wicked, and his heart condemned him in the end. The only way out, folks, is to repent of your sins. That means I make up my mind. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Jesus said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're with me or you're going to end up scattering. And that's the problem. People are trying to ride the fence with this thing. And what they do is they end up scattering people because they see the hypocrisy. God help us to be the light and to be the salt again. We ought to put on the new nature. We need to be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We need to be transformed into His image. We seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and you will find Him. Folks, I'm passionate about this message because I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And when I was blind, I didn't see. I didn't realize I was blind. But when God opens your eyes, then you begin to look and you see others who are right where you used to be. Even those who play games with God. And your heart goes out to them because you know that they're on the road to destruction. Do you know that the words that we hear, we're responsible for? The words that we hear and that we understand, we're responsible for. Did you know that? What you know is what's going to judge you in that day. Jesus said, if you reject me, you have a word that I spoke to you. That same word will judge you in that day. In other words, you won't come before God and say, God, I didn't know. And God forbid that I should stand before the Lord and He should tell me, how come you didn't warn my people? How come you didn't tell them? How come you didn't warn the lost? There is a way of escape. There is a banquet that God is preparing. There is a feast. There's a celebration. There is a good time to be had in the Lord. But you're not going to have a good time in the Lord as long as you're having a good time and you're full of yourself. Isn't that true? As long as we're loving the world and enjoying the world and trying to find fulfillment in the world, you'll not have what God has. You can't have it both ways. So God is saying to all of us, especially His bride, that you are representing me in this earth. Amen? So when we represent Him, we want to do, amen, the best job possible to make sure that people are seeing the real Jesus. And the only way that they're going to see the real Jesus is that I'm done with my selfish living and I have forsaken that I might take up my cross and follow Jesus Christ, that I may be clothed in His righteousness, that I might be clothed in His holiness. And so when people look at me, they're going to say, there's something different about you. There's a peace about you that I don't have. There's a joy in your life that I really would like to know more about. You're so loving. When the world is so cold, how can that be? Well, it's Jesus. I don't give you me, I give you Jesus. Forget about me, look at Jesus, amen? I didn't die for your sins, I can't save you. I give you Jesus. Hallelujah.